This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Events in the Middle East are unfolding at a rapid pace. Is there a disconnect between what is happening in the real world and what we see? Khalifa Khalifa is an Israeli Druze who captures what is said in the Arab media, specifically in Lebanon and Syria, and translates it for the broader community to access. In so doing, he provides a different view of the Arab world that we see, certainly one we don't see in the Western media. He has current news that is so fascinating that I'm excited to break it here on High FM. Khalifa Khalifa, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation. Well, just for the sake of the event, we didn't plan what happened this morning before we scheduled that, but we felt it. Somehow the energy was there. So very excited to be here.
It's incredible news. And before we share it, though, how often in doing what you've been doing, have you seen a disconnect between what we in the Western world read and what is actually happening in the Arab world?
Oh, wow. That's, well, you know, this is why I speak about the Druze people, because it's not talking about the Druze people per se, but it's just a community that I very well known with. And trying to give the story of what's happening with them sheds light on other groups like the Kurds, like the Maronites, the Christians, whole bunch of groups and clans, one might say, because the Middle East is a very diverse place. It's a fascinating place from political point of view. I'm fascinated by it. And, you know, here in Israel as well, because people in Israel don't actually understand Arabic. So the feeling is sort of living in a, you know, a villa in middle of the jungle. This is how we perceive ourselves. And for us, everything behind the borders, behind the gate, in a way, is like this evil forces of darkness, of things that they want to kill us, and evil forces, which is might be true, and which is true in very, in a lot of the cases, right? And that should be discussed, and we should well, very well know about it. But there's way more colors, if you want, in the Middle East, and I'm very excited when, you know, I feel the like there's something opening with the perceiver when he hears something that he's so unfamiliar with. I'm getting addicted to this feeling, to providing it to people. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, I could discuss about the Druze and we could discuss philosophy and history and all those things, but for me, being very well familiar with what's happening here underneath the hood, underneath the whole system, we are all human beings. And the way I see it, there's sane people trapped in a very insane reality, that they want peace and prosperity, and they want and they are not shy to ask for that for themselves, for their children, for the community. And there's the insane people who all the, what they want to do is find reasons and excuses to shed terror and fear to all of us. And what the, and this is what exciting in the Middle East, that enough people are saying enough with that, which is amazing.
Khalifa, before we go into what the sane people are asking for and their desire for a better world and peace, can you just talk a little bit about the role that the Druze community has played specifically in Israel and during this war? Because I know there has been a huge casualty rate specifically among the Druze community post October the 7th.
Yeah, well, our story is an example. It's a living example of how bonds and pacts could be between people who share common ground in the best possible way. And we paid a huge price for that. And the Druze community is, just to make it simple to people, we are basically Arabs. Our mother tongue is Arabic, but we are the best friends of the Jewish community in the Middle East in general, because living under the Jewish state is a privilege that we respect and we fight for and we love. Although there's a certain feeling for the Druze people that, you know, we're not quite fit as citizens, as full citizens in Israel. And I know how it's gonna sound, but, you know, like for me, when I served in the special forces in the army, I declared I sang the national anthem of the Tikva, Nefesh Yehudi Umiya, which is okay, I'm good with it. I want that the Jewish people will have national home for their people, but for me, where is my place in middle of that? But having said that, we compared, especially if we compare to other Druze living in the Middle East, we live in the best possible way. We live in our daily life like the average Druze people live life that their brothers and friends and sisters and family just cross the border can't even imagine how it could be living in a law-abiding a country, which is like, you know, it's a startup here in the Middle East, because the world state is existing, but the actual practice of citizenship is something different. Like, it's I don't know where to start to begin with, but the falling regime of Bashar al-Assad will give a glimpse of what I've been talking about for so many time, about what it is to live under such regime, and here in Israel, and I'm sure it's gonna be even more relevant to your South African friends, the Jewish community, that right here, right next to Israel, there was an actual Nazi regime that under his false claims, he just did the most heinous atrocities, and that will be discussed and will be revealed as time will pass by. But now we live in a historical moment of starting the actual work of where to start with, where to begin with, and that's amazing to see.
And again, just before we get to that news, for the Druze community, it must be extremely tense, because much of the Druze community are in Lebanon, close to the border, and in Syria, close to the border. And I remember when there was an attack from Lebanon, from Majd al-Shams, where a Druze community was targeted or was the victim of. The kind of the tensions or the relationships between you and your brothers in these Middle Eastern countries.
Oh, wow. First of all, it's a very strong bond. We, the Druze community, have very unique qualifications. One of them is a very strong bond to our fellow Druze people, because, you know, one cannot become Druze. Druze is only someone who his father and mother both are Druze, and you can't become Druze. You are, nobody is welcomed anymore. This invitation for this specific club was closed like 1,000 years ago, and sorry, no, we can't take no more. So the bond is very, very strong. And for me, you know, having to know Lebanese people living under the occupation of the Hezbollah, which is the armed, you know, Hezbollah is a very strange case, because, you know, it's actually a drug cartel that as drug cartels, terrorizes and traffic people and arms and terror to all, every place they landed in, they just spread their evil practices. But the one who was leading the whole thing was claiming that he's actually a messenger of God. This is how, and people believed him. People believed him in a religious way. A man saying that I'm a drug trafficker, I spread terror, I spread all this hatred, and I'm putting it in some twisted religious disinformation, and people just bought that. So it's a crazy, crazy world here, and seeing how is it for him? Like, you know, I can't even discuss politics with him because those people, if they know that he even thinks about talking to Israeli friend, they will kill him. So by even talking to me, he puts his life in jeopardy. That's also true and valid to my friends in Syria. I have very close relationship with friends whom, you know, sometimes I feel, oh, how shitty is it to be myself? You know, I'm having a very bad day. I don't know, my cat is sick, or I don't know what. And then talking to my Syrian friend and see how his life is and which reality he was born into. And from, like, in my belief, we believe in reincarnation. So I could easily born in Syria, I would die today and might get to be born in Lebanon or wherever that is. So the relationship is very, very strong, and see what kind of reality he's dealing with puts the whole thing in perspective. And you know, it's an unfolding story.
So let's get to that. And I think we've kept everyone waiting long enough. What is the breaking news from the Druze community in Syria?
But before we get to the news, I will, because you mentioned a very important thing about the Druze targeting targeted children in Majdal Shams, which happened during the last summer. And, you know, knowing what we know about the October 7, how it started, and how it's ending. It's ending now for those who weren't connected to the news. I see the regime of evil of Ayatollah Khamenei is going to fall in Iran, and it's going parts by parts, which is amazing to see. And if there's a point that started the whole sequence of events, was this event where we closed the losing or the main painful part of Israel in terms of casualties or fear of what is coming next, to moving towards this glorious victory that we are having. It is, because those children, for those who don't know, there was a rocket targeted children playing soccer in the field. 13 small children were died due to this event. Sorry, Druze children from the Majdal Shams village, which was a heartbreaking scene. And this event cost the head of the army of Hezbollah, Fuad Shukr, Sheikh Mohsen, with his head. And this event started the whole collapse of Hezbollah, which led to the collapse of Bashar al-Assad. And now we have two countries near to Israel, which is Lebanon and Syria, which are basically are reforming. And it's obviously that the Middle East is in a turn point where things start to sound a bit different, where people in Lebanon are saying out clear and loud that we want peace with Israel. We've done with all this fiasco, and thank God, and thank God. God help us thank us for the existence of Israel that just took this cancer of terror and took it out of us. And the same is true with Syria. While Syria is a bit maybe more complicated case because it's a much larger country, which most of her population is Sunni, which some of them are jihadists, came from ISIS and Al-Qaeda roots, like the leader of the whole, like the actual president of what becoming of Syria now, which is Abu Muhammad al-Julani, Ahmad al-Shar. So he has an ISIS roots. And the population is 83% of it is actually Sunnis. Some of them are Kurds, some of them are Arabs, some of them are backed by Turkey, some of them are backed from maybe Saudi Arabia and the UAE are coming in, or maybe Qatar, which is a whole different story. So into this mixture, we have a group of Druze people, around 1 million people in Syria, who are basically have no other place to help it. Like it's a very identical, like it's a very special ethnicity living there, which is a cultural heritage, which has been under a threat of extinction and ethnic cleansing for a long time, is now in a stage where it should decide where it should want and become like some sort of part of Israel, as people today, which is the news, people in Syria are asking to actually to welcome Israel to come and have the land and rule the people. And we are hearing more and more voices like this, which is what comes next is less important in my opinion than this popular common street and common sense call for a common peace. Yeah. It's not like something that someone cooked. The people are asking, come Israel, we want to live in peace with you, come rule us, come have our land and establish, extend the state of Israel towards us.
Khalifa, and on that note, believe it or not, we have to actually end the interview. So I think what we're going to do is, now that you've revealed this, pick up this conversation if you are available in the new year. Perhaps we can speak again about what it actually might look like. Whether Israel takes the people over, because I'm not sure annexing more land would go down very well. But we have to end it there. Craig is indicating that it's time. But thank you so much for joining me, and absolutely fascinating news. I'm sure we are going to talk more in the new year.